The Whiting Brothers as Businessmen. By Rex E. Lee, great-grandson. On May 5, 1911, the Forest Service of the United States Department of Agriculture issued a sawmill permit to E. M. Whiting and H. A. Berry, partners doing business under the firm name and style of Whiting and Berry, having an office and principal place of business at St. John's, Arizona. The permit was for a steam-powered sawmill having a daily capacity of 5,000 board feet. Some 50 years after the issuance of this original sawmill permit, the descendants of E. M. Whiting owned and operated sawmills and related lumber processing facilities having an annual capacity of approximately 150 million board feet. I recall a photograph of a service station constructed by E. M. Whiting and his sons, on what was then and still is the main street of St. John's, proudly displaying the sign, Free Air. As of the date of this writing, about one half century after that auspicious beginning, in which a single service station pioneered a new merchandising concept, by dispensing free air, a total of 85 Whiting Brothers service stations are located in 6 southwestern states. Free air is available at all of them. Several years ago, my grandfather, E.I. Whiting, wrote an article for the Whiting Family Tree entitled, What Has Held the Whiting Brothers Together? I have been asked to treat a more expansive subject from the somewhat more objective viewpoint of one who has been an observer though not a major participant in the building of the Whiting Brothers' business ventures. Ironically, it is perhaps easier to talk about the characteristics of the Whiting Brothers, which have not contributed to their business and financial successes. In my opinion, the rather substantial list of unorthodox and, by almost everyone's standards, and recommended business practices, which have characterized the Whiting Brothers' dealings is headed by a lack of concern for certain types of detail, especially with regard to such important matters as ownership of property. In the summer of 1961, I informed my grandfather that the record title to a certain piece of property, which he had told me he owned, was in Uncle Ralph's name. His response was, "Well, it's mine. We'll see Ralph and get it straightened out." Being in the midst of my law school career, and thoroughly imbued with the problems which arise from mistakes such as the one which had apparently been made, my immediate, though unexpressed, response was, "Well, good luck." We discussed the matter with Uncle Ralph, who responded, "Oh, sure, that's Eddie's. You make a deed and I'll sign it." Since that time, I have seen numerous other instances in which the record titles to very valuable properties had to be changed in order to reflect their true ownership. The inherent dangers from this type of business procedure are obvious. The virtues are certainly not sufficient to offset these dangers, but they are worthy of mention. It appears to me that there are two: one, the implicit trust, which was the foundation of this confusion in property ownership, is refreshing. To the resulting confusion contributes to the salutary policy of full employment for lawyers. Now to the plus side. At the outset, candor requires a recognition that personalities, as complex as those of the Whiting Brothers, are not susceptible to precise isolation and identification of component characteristics. Nevertheless, there are certain salient characteristics which are noteworthy. One longtime associate, himself a very successful businessman, expressed the opinion that the chief contributing factor to the Whiting Brothers' success was not their skill in production, marketing, financial management, or the like, but rather their ability as traders, their almost uncanny capacity to sense a good buy or a good trade. While I would disagree that this has been the most important factor contributing to their success, the observation on the whole rings true. I always felt that my grandfather was happiest while negotiating with the Hebrew scrap metal dealers in Los Angeles, shaking his head and feigning lamentations, "You fellers are just too fast for me, I can't keep up with your figuring," a statement that had as much basis in fact as a declaration by Custer that he needed more Indians. A favorite story involves Juan Sanchez. On one occasion, my grandfather had responded to a proposal by Juan, telling him that he would have to consult with his brothers. Juan retorted, "How come? Whenever I'm skinning you, you've got to see your brothers. Whenever you're skinning me, you don't got to see nobody." The brothers came by their trading instincts honestly. Great-grandmother Whiting responded to a plea by her oldest son that she allow him and his brothers, to do something for her by stating, "Well, Eddie, I would like to buy something wholesale." The Isaac in Isaacson comes through. My own opinion is that the most noteworthy characteristic of the Whiting brothers' business dealings, and over the long run, arguably the characteristic which has made the greatest contribution to their financial success, has been their sensitive, fine-honed sense of fairness. Mr. Irving A. Jennings, for several decades general counsel for the various Whiting business interest, and personal lawyer for many of the family members, observed at an appreciation dinner given for employees of Babb Lumber Company in 1966, that in all the years that he had represented the Whiting brothers in their various negotiations, litigations, and other legal matters, he had never known them to seek to recover or obtain more than what was justly theirs. Their tenacity in obtaining their just dues, in Mr. Jennings' view, is unexcelled. The noteworthy aspect of this tenacity, however, is that it had never impelled them to pursue a dispute to the point of obtaining more than that due, which they were fairly entitled, even in those instances where they probably could have done so. I recall my father telling of our having supplied to one of the local LDS churches for a building project some lumber, which had been manufactured at one of our mills at considerable expense, because of the extra length of the boards. A dispute arose concerning the payment for the lumber, a dispute which was eventually resolved in our favor by appropriate church officials in Salt Lake City. Shortly thereafter, my grandfather sent to the ward involved a contribution in an amount greater than the amount which was in dispute over the lumber. A principal was involved, and he insisted on seeing justice done. He was happy to make a contribution, but not under the false guise of a failure to recognize the fair value of goods which he had supplied. No discussion of the Whiting brothers, whether in the business context or any other, would be complete without reference to their sense of humor. It is a type of humor that has a style of its own, crisp, pointed, and unorthodox. Uncle Ernest, upon being asked by a traffic policeman, "Didn't you see that red light?" responded, "Hell yes, I saw it, but I didn't see you." It is a type of humor that appeared early in life. As a young boy on the sawmill, Uncle Art was reprimanded for not working harder. His reply, "Well, it seems to me, if you're smart enough, you don't have to work." It is also a type of humor that shows a flair for exaggeration, such as Uncle Ralph's assertion that there's more of 'em stealing from us than ain't, and Uncle Ernest's solemn declaration that if he were sitting on a swivel chair on the 50-yard line in the Rose Bowl at game time, facing away from the field, he wouldn't bother to turn around. More than 50 years have gone by since the United States Forest Service issued that first sawmill permit to E.M. Whiting and H.A. Berry, and since the first of the Whiting stations opened its doors. The mantle of primary responsibility for the various Whiting business activities has largely passed to the next generation. But the original Whiting brothers are still in business. It is serious business. It is the business of maintaining and perpetuating within the E.M. Whiting family the bonds of family unity and loyalty, which have been characteristic of this family from the beginning. No more lasting nor fitting tribute than this could be paid to the memory of E.M. and Moriah Whiting.